week, everyone. Welcome to This Week in Mormons, the show that talks about Mormon news, life, culture, pathos, whatever. How's everybody doing? I'm here with Al. Amen. Al, where are you?
Bula! It is I. I'm Al. Hello. We are joined this week by some very special guests, the makers of the Most Interesting Mormon in the World YouTube videos have stepped on the show. Why don't you go ahead and, Corbin, right?
Yes. Hi,
Mr.
Everybody.
Corbin Frost here.
Hello.
We have Mr. Adam is with us.
Hello, Adam Johnson here.
And Melissa.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, she's so polite.
You are most
great. Now I'm ungrateful all of a sudden.
You really are.
Thanks. You're the jerk.
I know. I'm always a jerk.
He's interesting. He doesn't have to be grateful.
I got you covered.
Thank you.
Well, we are absolutely flattered that you all have taken some time out of your week to join us.
That's true.
Thanks for having us.
Pretty exciting week. Jeff, yes?
Yeah, just for me in general?
Everybody, Jeff turned 30.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Congratulations.
Happy birthday.
I turned 30 last week. I'll tell you what, it's always awkward doing the personal part like we always do when we have guests on. But anyway, yes, everyone surprised me. You probably knew about this, Al. I was supposed to have a party in my honor on Saturday night, and then they surprised me and threw it on Friday without telling me.
There was no pants party.
No pants is the only party to be had.
They threw me a carnival.
Really?
And
a carnival.
Now, I did know about this, but the sweet satisfaction I got was knowing that you were a little bit disappointed that you didn't get to have your grilled cheese party.
Well, maybe it's a little bit, because who doesn't love a grilled cheese party?
Even with the surprise carnival, you were still like, oh, but seriously.
Wait a minute, who says that? What, are you like sourcing things out, finding out how I reacted at the party?
I know you. I've known you for 5 years. I know exactly how you reacted.
He was just like, he was crying on a pony. He's like, oh. No cheese.
I pulled one on them when I told them that I'd already been to Whole Foods and purchased $30 worth of bread.
Nice.
They
looked very sad, but the carnival was great. I wasn't that sad. I'll still do the grilled cheese party like in a month or something.
That's good.
Well, at least you got some carnies on your birthday.
Lots of carnies. Yeah. Lots of carnies and midgets.
You should have deep-fried your grilled cheese.
I love this Corbin guy. Look what he's thinking of.
You know, if you want a real treat, you need to do a grilled peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, dude, I love grilled peanut butter and jelly. Like, that is a mainstay in my diet.
But how grilled are we talking? Like, do you do it like grilled cheese, butter the sides and everything?
Cheese, yeah, you butter the sides, you grill it up. It makes the jelly warm, the peanut butter
absolutely
hot.
Absolutely. I prefer grape jelly.
Adam! Where have you been?
It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind.
Great question.
Jelly. I have never heard of that. Did your mom
Can I do
make
this with a panini
you?
Press?
You can do it with panini press. I've tested this.
This is going to happen.
However, with a waffle iron, it gets messy.
Yeah,
I could see that.
So let's, guys, go ahead and let's take a minute and go around real quick. You can introduce yourself, what you do, and give a little background and kind of talk about what you were involved with the Most Interesting Mormon bit. Give our listeners a little bit of context. I guess, Melissa, you want to go ahead and kick
you
it
are
off?
The matriarch here. Take us there.
Sure. So I thought of the idea because I love the Dos Equis commercials. And approached Corbin. It's a project that we did for a film festival that the Singles Ward in LA do every year. And, you know, called up Adam. They were game. So here we are.
Now, did you guys win anything? Because, like, I've seen that before. Like, what was it last year? The Jane Austen Fight Club? That was a big one that came out of
that was the winner
the Santa
last
Monica
year.
Fest. So did you guys, has the award, has it happened? Have you pulled anything
yes,
out?
Yes, it has. Do you
want to? We won Best Use of Mormon Culture. We came in runner-up to another video as
boo.
Best of the Evening, but we are spanking them in the YouTube.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
It's hard to
it's
say.
True.
And no, it's not hard to say. You're winning on YouTube. That's real victory.
We really are.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. We're like the Mormon Rebecca Black.
As long as you don't pull the video eventually.
Yeah, no, I've been harassed.
And get homeschooled after that.
You had to get homeschooled. You're like sad.
Give up your spelling. Melissa, what do you do normally?
I'm a pharmaceutical rep, so I drive around Beverly Hills and sell drugs legally.
It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Well, that's exciting.
It is exciting. And it's very
that's
exciting.
That's the end of our pharmaceutical conversation.
Nice.
Well, the title...
It's like...
Oh, go ahead.
It's good.
It's like, it's you meet someone and you're like, oh, that's really neat. That's...
I didn't know where to go.
That's so nifty. Do you get those from Canada? Or
I always feel terrible because I'm taller than the pharmaceutical people, even on their stand. And it intimidates
me. Al's like 6'8", by the way. So.
Oh, wow.
I am extra large.
You're the only person who can look down at the pharmacist?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It makes for an awkward staring thing because they don't expect me to be there at all.
I can see that.
So when do you run into pharmaceutical reps?
Evidently all the time based on his ease in conversation.
No kidding.
Wow. No, I don't at all. This was all a lie. I made all of this up.
It's okay. We can still be friends.
Okay.
Jeff bails out of the podcast. He's like, I'm gone. I'll see you later.
So, you know, the title, The Most Interesting Mormon in the World, gave me a little bit of pause after Elder Packer's talk in General Conference last conference, you know, because he said, where possible, use the full name of the church. But if it was the most interesting member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the world, I mean, that's practically longer than the piece itself.
It wouldn't work.
I'm pretty sure YouTube doesn't allow a title that long. I think you made the right choice.
Well, even on top of that, I mean, it's like we talk about, at least for the press, using the full name of the church, but the church has kind of stopped running away from the anti, quote, Mormon thing that they used to harp on so much. I mean, I think they've tried to embrace it a bit more, actually.
Mormon's much better branding. It's easier, snappier.
For the record, I love the videos that you guys did. I think they're hilarious, and I love the Dos Equis commercials as well. That's one of the more brilliant marketing. That and Old Spice have to be like paramount in my. If I were ever to be a marketeer or an advertiser, I would love to work on those projects. I think they're great.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Yeah. My favorite one in the two ads is when it says you play, Rook?
With
John and the three Nephites. And the fact that like two of the Nephites are clearly like these Chicano guys wearing soccer jerseys. And I just picture, because growing up in California, that's exactly how I picture these bonkers, laughing, hysterically Mexican dudes. Just
nice.
Though, of course, the problem with that is they look like Lamanites, and, you know... I mean, come on.
They were no Manorvites, Jeff.
I'm just saying, President Kimball would not be pleased. Those don't adequately represent Lamanites or Nephites.
Time will tell.
But I love what you've done. Now, I assume, was that one part inspired by Legacy when you bless your car?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a Legacy illusion.
Yeah, we were down to a contest between that and two ladies having a crosscut saw contest for him.
A crosscut saw contest.
Like, I didn't know about that.
First turn with Adam at the dance.
Wait, what were some of the other things that got cut? I'm curious.
We cut the last soldier to fall. We were going back and forth between a line that said 1 in 4 pornographers struggles with an addiction to him.
which I
really loved. It was deemed a little steamy for the church contest.
A little bit, maybe.
That's great.
Did you put that out to somebody for like feedback, or did you pose that to leadership in the ward or something?
We sent it to a few people around the ward and then to the committee.
Oh, so, my gosh, that's awesome.
That's great.
Any other good ones?
there was more. The scene where the wife gets pregnant, there's a little more to that. A little more telepathic. I'm trying to
put
a
delicate
for your show. Telepathic relations between them.
That scene was shortened.
Yeah.
So
do they
basically have like look sex with one another?
She kind of has a telepathic orgasm. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you can say it.
All right,
we'll bleep that out.
It was funny. It was funny.
I wonder. Jeff, I was I'm actually, now I'm curious, could we come up with any other good, most interesting Mormon in the world bits?
I don't think we're creative enough, Al.
Man.
Anything you say, we might steal because I'm working
Canon
on more.
Will be.
There will
be
more.
Are you going to keep making them?
Yes, there will
there
be
will
more.
Be more.
So, wow, that's great.
Absolutely.
I am adamant I think you guys should keep going with humorous Mormon funniness on this channel.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks.
All right. We'll keep it cranking, right?
Woo. All right. Yeah. Well, and Corbin, now you were the brains behind, well, the actual video editing itself, right?
I worked on it with an editor, Matt Stumpy, who's a great film guy here in the ward as well. Yeah, we sat down I directed it and we ended up sitting down and doing the editing and the video effects as well. And then Duncan Rawlings was our shooter, so.
Editing is probably the most underappreciated work in the world, I think.
Oh, thanks, Al. Thank you.
A lot of films.
Video editing, Jeff.
A lot of films are made in the editing room, so.
Yeah,
man. It's pretty. I'm always amazed by what difference editing can make.
What was that one?
Adam Johnson, profound commentator.
Yeah. There you go.
he's like, listen, everyone, a bearded man is talking.
Yeah. Listen up. It takes a lot of work to get to this beard.
And so, Adam, you are, of course, the one in the videos, the most interesting Mormon in the world. But you do a lot of other. I mean, are you you're a full time actor? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not acting full time, like right now. Just being myself.
This is real.
This is the real deal.
This is too real for me.
It's a little bit. I feel naked right now.
I thought Corbin was the one who was naked before the show started. I'm confused.
I was. I put my pants on.
Oh, that's good.
So
now, fun fact about Adam: this is like a double whammy for us. We've got you're playing Judas in a film coming up.
Yes. Well, yes.
Did you tweet that when you got the part? Like, hey, guess what I just landed today, everybody.
Wait, did I tweak which bragging about Judas or bragging about the most interesting Mormon?
Oh, Judas. I mean, the Mormon thing's fine, but I playing Judas.
Fine.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, because. I'm an actor and I don't, I have done a lot of Mormon type movies, but that's not all that I aspire to do. You know, in fact, I have a couple movies out right now that are definitely not Mormon movies. And
wait, so, okay, keep going. Sorry.
No, what was your question?
No, I was going to ask you, like the Kirby Hayborn, he does like the Miller Lite commercials.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's a Mormon actor that is in Miller Lite commercials, and that was a big hoo-ha.
Wow. Yeah, there was a big uproar about that.
Yeah.
You have no problem with that?
Yeah, well, yeah. If you see my movies, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm sure I'm going to get some fallout from that.
So what you're saying is you are shooting the sequel to Showgirls, or what are we getting at here?
Actually, I had a movie. What was that, Corbin?
Adam's working on a skin flick in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, they're coming back.
Nice.
They're coming back.
Nice.
That burlesque genre.
Yes. Oh, man. When I saw burlesque, you know, it just blew my mind about the possibilities. What you can do with a soft lens.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so what are these movies that you've been in recently? That we won't endorse, but I'm just curious.
Well, there's one right now is playing at festivals. In fact, we played at the Hell's Kitchen Film Festival this past weekend.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And we played at the LA Comedy Fest. We won Best Actor and Best Actress.
Nice. Were you the actor referenced?
I was, yeah. I'm the lead in the film, which is exciting.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell us what it's called, or is this just going to be one big Google teaser?
It's No, it's called Dr. Limp Tooth.
Dr.
Yes, sir. It's about I play a guy who's a history professor, and I confide in a colleague of mine who's played by Gary Cole. He's a professor of psychology. I confide in him that I'm a vampire. And for the past 300 years, ever since I accidentally killed the love of my life, I have what he calls a vampire impotence. Can't grow my fangs.
Vampitants.
Yes. Yeah, and so he's trying to help me get my mojo back. That's essentially what the movie's about. But nice. You can Google it, or you can go to YouTube and watch the trailer there. DR period, limp tooth, one word.
Oh, I'm there.
All right, we'll link that up. That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I got to say, I'm pretty proud of it. Excited about it.
Oh, I'm all over. Nice. Now, aren't you? Now, I forgot. Did I see this? Al, remember how we talked about the that new Joseph Smith movie that came out in theaters last weekend?
Right, right. I meant to go see that, but it wasn't worth $9 to me, so I'm waiting for the dollar.
No, I thought, Adam, are you in that? I thought I saw
it. I am in it. I am, okay. Yes. I have not seen it yet either, so I don't know.
Wait. You're waiting for the dollar theater.
Can you say
in that one, don't you, Adam?
Say definitively that it is better than the original Book of Mormon movie?
Yep, I'm going to say yep. I'm pretty sure we beat it.
My favorite quote was the director talked about what a miracle it was to make the first Book of Mormon movie, and he referenced that. You know, there was a point where they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get costumes, and then they ended up making them out of some old donated drapes, and they had the costumes that they needed.
Oh, that's
and fantastic. I was like, dude, you didn't pull that one off, man. That was a
that's
and
awesome.
Isn't it free to just go run with the costumes in the Great Salt Lake and roll around in the dirt a little bit? I mean, weathering is a free experience. Mm-hmm. I think there's no budget involved for that, but yet. They chose to make things, you know, good. And
they got the dry cleaning donated, so why not use it, Jeff?
Oh, sorry. I'm not an expert.
That's right, and you don't want to waste it. You still want to use it after the movie's done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were talking before the show, Adam, about some of the nuances of you playing Judas and what that entails. You had a story or two that you were going to share with us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's so I work 5 days and it's spread over a month and a half. So I worked out a deal that they would fly me back and forth to LA. And, I got offered this part on this pilot, which was another doozy. I play a guy who I would have played a guy who kidnapped this 3-year-old girl and I'm going to kill her. So
that's.
It goes right along the
call
lines.
That a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, it's a family, you know, family show.
It's like after Tuesdays with Adam.
Yep.
Nice.
Oh boy, I try to get the nice little even, you know, display of different characters. Anyway,
you don't want to be typecast.
No, sir. No. My gosh. Anyway, so my agent was trying to work this out because the shooting day conflicted with a day this week. So it wasn't working out, and she's telling me, well, look, just call in sick. Call in sick the day you're supposed to fly back to Utah. And I'm like, I just can't do that, Marcia. And it was funny because I love her, Marcia. She's Jewish, so she doesn't know a whole lot, needless to say, about Christianity. And they were
good to throw that part in there.
That's cool. Yeah, I said to throw that in there.
She doesn't know a whole lot.
She's awesome, but I was laughing because she's on the phone. She's like, "Well, what are you shooting that day?" I said, "Well, I looked at it already. It's the Last Supper," and I heard her over the phone saying, "Julie, what? Julie's looking it up right now. I think they grabbed a Bible and they're flipping through it or something or googling it or what." She's like, "You're not it. Judas isn't in the Last Supper. He's not there. He's not in the Last Supper." And,
exactly.
I just started laughing, and I'm like, "Oh wait. Oh yeah, I guess he is." I'm like, "Yeah." Yeah, he shows up there. He makes an appearance at the Last Supper. And the parallel was funny to me because the offer of the money to betray the project that I'm working on as Judas.
Nice.
How poetic.
Yeah.
And for the poetic. Church, no.
Poetic cinema.
By the way, how is that set down there in Goshen or whatever, that big is that where you're doing a lot of it?
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. They built a huge back lot. And so tonight we shot some of the ordination of the apostles up in the upper room. Is what we're calling it. It looks pretty amazing.
We've seen pictures. We saw all the releases about it. It's like a little mini city back out there.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to go stalk it now that I'm in Utah. But
oh yeah, come on down.
You just like come hop on and down. Trying to look over the fence. You're like, is there making a movie in there?
Yeah, I guess there's been a lot of looky loos, and they get turned away because for whatever reason. A lot of people want to come down and check it out.
I'm sure
we welcome the world unless it is to our closed set.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And not to sit on it too long, but okay, Adam, wasn't your brother on The Mormon Bachelorette.
He was. He was on The Mormon Bachelorette.
Yeah, Al and I have a special love for that production.
Wait, which one's your brother?
Brad. He
was probably the hottest one.
Did he wear a V-neck? Is that him?
Did he wear a V-neck? Oh, man, I don't. I know
Smile
he has a V-neck.
Of gold.
He went on his second date. They went to some cowboy out in the middle of the desert. They rode horses and threw axes.
Has he said anything about this? Is he ready? Like, if she proposed to him, would he say yes?
Well, I guess no. I guess
he's committed to say yes in his contract, but
I don't really know.
He would turn away at the rose ceremony.
Yeah. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, but
you're just an innocent third party. You know, what do you know?
That's true. I don't really know the correct or the true answer, but I think it's pretty much over for him.
Oh, this is I love spoiler alerts. This is wonderful.
I got all caught up yesterday, and like she prefaces every date with, well, I'm not even sure that I might even find the person. So maybe nothing. Maybe this won't be it at all. I'm like,
it's because she does every date like a job interview. But anyways, we don't have to.
She is so boring.
She's like, I haven't even tried out lesbianism yet.
Oh yeah. Well, there's other avenues. Another friend of mine was on the show. I had a couple friends on there. Tad.
Tad is your friend?
Yeah.
Oh, I
we loved Tad, even though most people hated him.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't think, well, because I knew him out in Hawaii. I don't even know if we went to school out there. He was just out there, but I was surprised to see him.
He did. He went to school. He got kicked out of school in Hawaii.
Does not surprise me.
Yeah. He apparently showed some butt crack in a video. And
does not surprise me either. It also, it could have been scholastic or academic reasons too. I never saw Tad show up to a class.
Oh, really? Oh, really? That's interesting. I gotta get in touch with Tad about that. He gave a wonderful story about being busted by a former girlfriend who reported him for this video he was in.
She recognized his rear end?
Yeah, I guess so.
She called him out for showing crack in a movie.
She's got some questions to be asked of her by the administration, exactly. I feel.
That sounds like
she recognized
had an axe
a few
to grind.
Rules. Yeah. Yeah, it was a sad day for him.
That's the way it goes. Well, that's exciting.
Wait, so Tad was, we don't have to sit on it, but who else was on it then that you would know? Tad was on it.
Eric?
They've imported most of these guys from Southern California.
No, a lot of them came from Utah. Eric, was he the shorter guy who seemed pretty cool?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a cool guy too.
I liked him. He was the one, Al, in his write-up. He was straightforward. It was just like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it. Boom.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like Eric.
Yeah, uncharacteristically uncensored and candid, because they kind of keep tight grips on, they want a little positive, happy-go-lucky production over there. And
sure.
So, you know.
Yeah.
They don't welcome honest
conflict.
She's got to be, man, she'd be a tough one, because she's like, she's really closed about all this stuff. And so I can't imagine, I don't know. I loved some of the awkward moments of previous Mormon bachelorettes, but these are like painful dates to watch where they just sit in awkward silence at cliche like run of the mill restaurants.
Yeah, they go to like Chili's. I mean, they're in Mesa. What else is going to happen out there? It is the definition of suburbia. I mean, I grew up in suburbia. No offense to it, but you don't film a show there.
Yeah,
suburbia does not take offense, Jeff.
I mean,
anyway.
Yeah, Tad cracked me up because he went and he spent $50 on some what was the shirt he bought? Some ridiculous shirt.
Please, please be affliction.
Yeah, it was an affliction shirt. He spent $50 on an affliction shirt. It was fantastic.
I'm sure she was impressed.
Oh,
you know what shirt would have been better? And I've wanted to find this shirt since I was like 12. In the movie, you know the movie The Son-in-Law with Pauly Shore?
Yeah.
Yes.
That redheaded son in the family wears a shirt that says "Seduce Me." I've always wanted to find that would be perfect to wear on The Mormon Bachelor.
Oh, that'd be
that's funny that you mentioned affliction shirts. I went to my first Salt Lake party this last weekend, and we had And I'm not even kidding. So I showed up and there was like five guys and two girls. And it was a dance party where they had the empty room downstairs with the strobe light that one girl was really feeling it and everybody else was out of there.
Nice.
And so I show up and walk two guys, both wearing matching Affliction shirts. And it was like this awkward twin moment of roommates. And I was like, ugh. And then eight guys wearing pink polos all come, well, like variations of pink stripes, pink blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, I'm really glad I didn't wear a polo. But,
Were they doing it to be humorous?
No, these were separate parties coming together. Wow. It was pretty impressive. But Salt Lake, it was down in, something Heights. Jeff, you probably know where it is. It's down past Sandy, like
Heights.
10th East.
Cottonwood Heights.
Cottonwood Heights?
Maybe.
Probably Cottonwood Heights.
I don't know. I've never been to parties up here. I was very excited, and it was it did not disappoint.
You got your money's
very
worth.
Entertaining.
You should probably start a blog about your Utah experiences, Al, because this is kind of the first time you've ever really, really lived there.
It's true. Yeah. I'm here for 6 months, whether I like it or not.
What are you there for?
I'm wife hunting.
Nice.
Whoa.
So you turn 29 and strange things happen to you and you say, wait a minute. I can't live in a rural town of 900 people in Missouri. I need to go where people are.
You're going to want to invest in an Affliction shirt and a pink polo. Just let you know.
You want to cover your bases, you know.
I'll put it on a fishing pole and just cast and reel. Cast and reel.
That's smart.
So 9/11 happened.
It did.
Jeff!
That's my segue. I'm very smooth. I'm noticed.
It's flawless. I hardly noticed it.
Sorry, speaking of Affliction, 9/11 happened. Better?
That is better. That's that powerful. Is awful.
How was that for everyone? Did anybody, any of you do anything? It was a big deal, 10th anniversary. I tried to actually remember a bit and observe a little bit, you know, and
I threw my back out with a bowl of chili.
You threw your back out with a bowl of chili? Wow.
Going in or coming out, Adam?
Of 9/11? Oh, I see what you're saying. It was about to go in.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Which made...
I'm a terrible person. All right. 9/11 is... that's interesting, because 10 years ago, it was pre-mission for me. For all of us, I guess.
Oh,
right, Jeff. Were you on your mission yet?
Yeah, 10 years ago. That was a very long.
You're the youngest person here, Al. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
I underestimated, but it was weird.
A nice subtle jab. Well played.
Thanks, Al.
You are all
in the mid singles ward.
Under 20.
Deep into the mid singles.
Well, and everybody did that. Where were you on September 11th when it happened? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a lot of that going around. Did any of you guys have any interesting stories about that? Like anything that you remember from back in the day?
Oh man. Yeah. I was on the way to a movie set on that day and I turned on the radio and I was like so confused. I'm like, what is everybody talking for? I kept trying to find the music. Like, what is wrong?
Like, freak this ABC syndicate
talk channels. What is this deal?
He's like, change.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really surreal because I was, you know, acting in this movie. I did this movie called Charlie, and I got to set. I'm like, once I figured out what was going on, I'm like, oh, the Twin Towers. Like, it took me so long to figure out where the Twin Towers were. It just throws you off, like, oh, cool, planes crashed.
You're not New York savvy, eh?
I was not. Well, plus, like, the planes crashing into it. I'm like, where would that happen?
You thought it was the ones in Kuala Lumpur from the movie Entrapment, didn't you?
Exactly.
A cinematic masterpiece, if there are
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Sean Connery.
You know, tight pants?
Dude, for me, I was out in a – I was building a lumber mill out in Topeka, Kansas. And so I was about 6 hours from home living out of a hotel out there. It was me and old Dirty Rob, and we were just building away, and we turned on, like, the alternative – you know, rock station to get going in the morning. And they came on and started, you know, like they're comedians, right? And so they come on and they're like, dude, a plane just flew into the Twin Towers. This is crazy. Go turn on the TV. And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking it's like a, you know, a War of Roses bit or something where they're trying to prank somebody. And, so eventually they just switch over to ABC News, like you're saying, right? They're just like, give it over to ABC. They started doing it. But then the thing that I remember about it is like, so, like they were just going nuts with it. So the Twin Towers were hit. The Pentagon was hit. And then they started reporting that the White House was under attack, that the Statue of Liberty was bombed, that, you know, like all of a sudden, all these rumors started getting reported as news. And so me and my work buddy, we hopped in the truck and started the 6-hour drive home. And I remember about 2 hours into it, I start seeing like all the gas stations jack their prices up to like $30 a gallon. I don't know if you guys saw this where you were, but ours, they were totally gouging and ended up getting like pretty severely reprimanded by the government that came in afterwards and took care of that. But like they were up to $35 a gallon and cars were backed up onto the highway.
Wow.
Everybody just waiting to get gas. It, like, I was sure like the world was ending. I thought I was done, and I was supposed to go on my mission in 2 months. I was like, wow. There's no way I'm going to make it. I'm going to battle. Is it?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
I remember for me, I was getting ready for work. I was saving money to go on my mission working full time. And I saw it on the news in the morning, and then I went to the office, and everyone just sitting around the conference room watching it. But I was working as a courier, and I had to go to downtown LA a lot. And so I adamantly refused to go anywhere, you know, within the remote vicinity of the 10 freeway or anything out there. And I think the most, one of the things that stuck out to me the most was, like, I listened to Kevin and Bean a lot. You LA people probably, you know that. So I'm listening to Kevin and Bean, but I remember they were on vacation. And so the only people there were Doc on the Rock and Ralph, their comedy voice guy.
And Doc on the Rock.
And so it was weird that they're the only two, like, around because everybody else was on vacation. And they just came on the air and spent the whole time just fielding calls. It was almost, it was so weird for people in comedy, especially, you know, morning radio, to be extremely just somber and serious and straightforward about stuff. That's what I remember the most. That and Howard Stern being totally, totally normal, too, which was unprecedented at the time.
Yeah. Melissa, do you have any recollections?
I do. I was actually working in a wig shop at the time in North Hollywood.
Of course you were.
It's what people do.
Exactly.
At that stage in life.
as an aspiring pharmacist rep.
I freelanced as a makeup artist for several years before I became a pharmaceutical rep, and that was when I first moved to LA and was getting started. And I was surprised that there was looting. At the end of our block, there was a dry cleaner, and I saw someone just totally break the window and just go in and rob them. And I had never seen anything like that. It's like, wow, what's going on? Looting?
Wait, what do you take from a dry cleaning shop?
Money?
There's got to be a lot of, like,
people's pants.
Piles and piles of expensive clothing, ideally.
I want this blazer with the patches on the elbows.
Yeah.
He's like, give me all your suede and give me it now.
Maybe some of the chemicals demand a high price on the black market. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, the pharmaceutical rep. thinking about the chemicals. Nice.
That would be pretty odd, though, to like see a guy walking out with a TV or you know, like just random looting. That had to be a little bit impactful.
Yeah, it was. I was kind of scared. It was like, wow. Because our building was much nicer than that one, you know. But it turned out okay, you know, for our building anyway.
Right, well,
that's
right.
Good.
Problem, crisis averted.
That's good.
Well, there were a few. So we had a Jeff. I don't know if you saw the Tom Brokaw special.
I didn't get to actually watch it. I don't know if any of the rest of you did, but I know it happened, but I haven't seen any of it.
It was great. It was very well done. It was like just kind of a long music and spoken word. And if you don't frequently watch music and spoken word, you could have been. Old Tom Brokaw, he stood in pretty well. You could have been like, I wish he would have finished with From the Shadows of the
Everlasting Hills.
Yeah, you wouldn't even known the difference. He was right in there.
So there was no Lloyd Newell at all?
I don't remember.
Because I kind of love my Lloyd. I mean,
did Dan dye his hair red? Doesn't Lloyd have red hair?
Lloyd does have that reddish hair.
Nice, nice.
Tom Brokaw?
Did Tom Brokaw dye it?
Who are you
probably
thinking
Dan,
of? Dan
Rather, probably.
No, I'm wondering if...
Either way, if they would have dyed their hair red, I think that would have been a great touch.
Awesome, that's what I'm saying.
I mourn with you here in my gingerness. One also, so they had that, which was very well done, and President Monson wrote an op-ed, which was published... Where was that published?
Washington Post. The On Faith column, the same place where... Michael Otterson often writes things for the church.
That's really cool. Now,
if I remember correctly, this is like the first time that a prophet has written a media piece. Well, I guess Gordon B. Hinckley, like, he was on the media.
He was in the media, but yeah, but any publications where I think were just through the church.
The last one I can remember is like the 1903 publication or proclamation to the world on like the origin of man. Like that was sent around to news publications and stuff, but I can't remember any really since then that are like from the prophet sent out, published this type op-eds. Yeah. Right? Jeff, am I right?
I think you're right. At least to be published in a mainstream news source. I'm 97% with you.
I didn't know about this.
Well, it's not that meaty. He does all he says is September 11th was bad. It should be an opportunity for us to turn to God, and he gives us comfort. And it was one of those. I was really hoping he'd like. I don't know. You get the New York or the Washington Post. Kind of go after it, maybe, like call some.
Well, no, I think there's a good point because he talked about, and we all remember this after 9/11, how unified all of us felt, both as Americans.
Ready to join the military. I was like ready to like jump into the army.
Yeah.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of people were that. And then a lot of people's, faith was renewed at the same time as well. And I think he speaks in this a little bit, the fact that, we recommitted ourselves in many ways to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, but then like anything else, just like the good vibes that were in the U.S. during the immediate aftermath kind of went away. And President Munson says at the end, it is constancy that God would have from us. Tragedies are not merely opportunities to give him a fleeting thought or for momentary insight to his plan of happiness. Destruction allows us to rebuild our lives in the way he teaches us and to become something different than we were. So.
Nice.
That's pretty good. I mean, yeah, it's not like it's super meaty, like you said, but it's got some really good quotes.
Well, good quotes, I'll take.
And and also coupled sort of with this, who here has heard stories from 9/11 about like no church members died or, all these crazy different things happened? Like,
you can't see this, but we're all raising our hands.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a guy in my ward back in Studio City that was in the building. And he got out.
And he actually got out.
Was in the World Trade Center?
Yeah, he was in the World Trade Center, and he just got this feeling. He's like, I got to get out of here.
Wow.
I think he heard a voice or something that told him to split.
I was going to say, I think it's because all Mormons in New York live on the Upper West Side, but...
That is false.
That's false. That's false.
I can tell you that Al has spent a lot of time right off of Wall Street.
Nice.
I'll just leave it at that. Am I right, Al?
Down in the Union Square wards.
I was in the Union Square ward, actually.
Nice.
It's a very good time. Place.
So we've all heard, these stories many times about all these things, whether a zone conference was randomly canceled, no one could get to work that day. Good old Kent Lart.
Faith-promoting rumors, Jeff. They were faith-promoting rumors.
Is that what you call them?
Yeah, that's right.
I think they actually, Kent Larson, this is an article at Times and Seasons, calls this instead chosen people syndrome. And I kind of like the way we look about it. I like that idea because often in the church we create all these crazy urban legends that a lot of them I'm sure never ever happened.
What's disappointing about it is that we can't just like be glad that people lived.
Yeah.
Or like that it wasn't worse than it was. We have to somehow make it about
it. And I don't think we need to use something as tragic as 9/11. Yeah, exactly. To somehow be like, well, look, nothing happened to any Mormons. God saved all the Mormons or anything like that because Kent Larson shows that there were 5 Mormons passed away in the attacks of September 11th. And he's nice enough to list them and actually go a little, some of their biographical information and this and that, which I think is good because they should be honored. And we shouldn't walk around with this crazy idea that everyone was preserved. I mean, I'm sure like Adam said, he had a friend who felt like he should get out of there. I'm sure there were many instances just like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not doubting that by any means, but
yeah, not necessarily only Mormon people, I'm sure.
And also that, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people did. So real quick, let's just read their names to respect them. But Yvonne Luis Carpio Bautista, a Peruvian immigrant, Caroline Boog, Brady K. Howell, Rhonda Sue Ridge Rasmussen, and Mary Alice Wallstrom. Those are the LDS people who lost their lives that day.
Yeah.
That's too bad. It is interesting, though. We do have a little bit of a stripling warrior complex, I guess, where, we feel like as the chosen people that nothing bad will happen to us. And we try to, like, we gravitate towards that, right? Like, we're very quick to say, no church buildings were harmed in this earthquake, and nobody got hit in this tsunami. No Mormons. All the missionaries are out.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like, we're excited. We should be excited that the people that are safe, and that, like, you know, our buildings were spared or whatever. But we need to realize that, as, you know, cause times are going to continue to get worse. It's not one of those things that any of this is going to stop, but we will not be spared everything,
no, I mean,
right?
I mean,
it shouldn't shake your faith to find that turns out, we do hit some.
Yeah, bad crap still happens. I mean, look, just the earthquake in DC a couple of weeks ago, some spires fell off the temple.
A spire?
I mean, that's minor, or take it many years ago when the temple in Samoa burned down.
Yeah.
Fire. I mean, stuff happens. It's, you know, we're not immune to tragedy just because of our belief in the church, by no stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So we hope everyone commemorated 9/11 in a way appropriate for you. And it's good to remember. I did feel a bit of a renewed sense to, I don't know, I don't want to say love my country more. I don't know exactly what I felt, but...
Dude, the Star Spangled Banner in church, I don't know if any of you guys got this, but we sang the Star Spangled Banner at the end, and that was like, that was one of the more patriotic moments of recent history of recent memory for me.
Yeah.
Of just like busting that out on a non-4th of July firecracker
weekend.
Dude,
we sang nothing patriotic. It was like and I live in D.C., for goodness sake, and there was nothing. The whole
D.C. is full of cowards.
Apparently. D.C. is full of cowards and communists. And
not to toot my own horn, but if you go to my website, adamjohnson.com, it's a big memorial to 9/11. It's not my website, actually. Somebody else owns it. But still, I'd like to take some ownership in that. I tried to contact the guy. Say, hey, can I have that website?
He's like, you can pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah. It was like a couple of years ago. I'm like, hey, dude, I went to the website. I'm like, oh, you can't, how am I going to like try to take this website? I mean, so I clicked on a link at the end. It's like, if you're still fired up about 9/11, you know, click here to donate. So I clicked on it and it was a dead link. So I wrote the guy, I'm like, dude, so are you done with that website?
you're
done with your pie.
You're profiteering from 9/11.
It's like stealing the gold teeth off of a dead woman.
I know.
Like, are you done with this memorial?
Like, I've got a reel waiting to go up. Come on.
So I wrote the guy, and he wrote back. He's like, sorry, man, I'm too fired up about 9/11 still.
I bet that was a dramatic reading
of the email, but I don't know how fired up he really was.
That guy probably held a candlelit vigil when GeoCities went down last year. I think he was...
He did offer to put up a link to my website.
Well,
which, that's nice.
He has not done yet. I couldn't bring myself to like, so dude, where's that link?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a link to his own website, adamjohnson.com, up at the top. That's nice of him.
So you can find his page if you find yourself.
It's like it's just one big circle. It just goes around and around and around.
It's like life. It's a gospel principle.
So we've got more Mormon hard-hitting news here. This was really the headliner for me. There is a bus company in Britain that has now banned proselyting on their buses.
Sad.
That's right.
Al, real quick, who is this article by?
I will lovely say it's Peggy Fletcher.
It is Peggy Fletcher Stack, our arch nemesis.
Peggy Fletcher Stack, she sure writes a lot of stuff about Mormons, you know, being the faith woman over at the Salt Lake Tribune.
Peggy Fletcher.
And we love her dearly.
No.
Well, so they stopped it because they don't want people to feel intimidated. The company's stand was, we do not permit any commercial or other organization to promote their products or services or views. And so the Robert Preston, the president of the England Mission, said, all right, fine, we won't. But for me, I'm curious what you guys think, because when I was a missionary, transport contact was the hardest. Like, that was the hardest thing for me to do as a missionary. Like, I always felt like such a schmuck because
you've got a captive audience for the length of a first discussion. You're like, let me tell you a story.
I was scared to death to do it. I was scared to death to do it.
Yeah, I tried. I remember trying it out when I was in Argentina in my first area, broken Spanish. So I'm like trying to strike up a conversation with this guy. And I guess they asked too many questions. He's like, what's wrong? Do you work for the government? You CIA?
You're like, Better, I work for Jesus.
Yeah.
Better. I work for the government long term.
I got to the point where I was trying, but like my experience on contacting on transport, including random, like contacting a plainclothes Pravoslavnik priest. Ooh. Who got in a yelling match with me, like on the metro.
Look at you name dropping.
Pravoslavnik.
Al served in Ukraine, by the way, for people.
Nice. Yeah, well, so he's a Russian Orthodox priest guy, but he was there in plain clothes. I had no idea, and all of a sudden I get sucked into this like random debate where he's shouting to everyone, "Look, this Mormon wants me." And then another time I got punched in the face.
Oh, wow.
When I had a brand new Korean greenie, so me 6'8" me and my little Korean, he was scared to death. Afterwards, he said, "Thank you for taking that." Like, he thought he was the whipping boy, and I took his punch.
You were big, Ben, or whatever his name was.
That's
yeah,
nice.
Exactly. Like, I had crummy experiences on transport. So this, I'd imagine the missionaries are, like, secretly cheering for this.
Like
the idea that you can go guilt-free on a bus ride and not feel bad for not wanting to talk to anybody and just sitting there reading your Book of Mormon.
There's going
to
be lazy missionaries just riding around London in circles, like not talking to anyone. They're like,
we don't have to share the gospel until we're off this bus.
They're playing solitaire with non-face cards.
That's all Uno.
Yeah, dude, I hated it. Yeah, I was so bad about ever doing that on the Mish. For me, it was just I didn't want to sit down on a bus or the metro and strike up a conversation, have them deny me, which was par for the course, and then just be sitting there. Because I felt like it would be so awkward if they weren't interested to get up and leave. Could it be like, oh, you don't want to hear about the gospel. I'm not going to waste my time with you, you know? So
there's no correct method.
There's no good way to do it because it's not like a date or anything where you can be like, well, this wasn't working out. What can you do? I mean, you have to approach everyone like a child of Heavenly Father. And so I just would like not do it. Basically, I'd recuse myself and I'd just stand there on the buses, give people smiles.
Tap
I figured
the
my smiles like, would make it better.
Tap the name badge.
I don't see it. Wink at girls.
Like, don't make me tap the sign.
I'm here with the big guy. Anyway.
I feel like, sorry, Melissa, times. Are we leaving you out? I don't mean to.
Oh, no. I was just thinking about, on my mission, it was the most awkward to street contact when we were on bikes because we were supposed to talk to every person who crossed our path. And so, you know, when you're a sister missionary and you're in a skirt, it takes some time to rig the skirt, and sometimes you have to tie it to the bike. So I'm afraid we lost some people a couple of times as we were trying to untie our skirts, you know, so we could go and talk to them.
Like, wait.
Wouldn't they just let you wear, like, biking shorts underneath your dress or something? I know they won't.
It was so hot. It was Arizona, and it was about 110 degrees. And, you know, it didn't come up, Jeff. Where were you all that time ago?
That sounds rough.
I was in Spain preaching the gospel to Catholics, having the time of my life.
I was just reading that they've got new guidelines for the sister missionaries where you can have skirts that are a little bit shorter. They're like between the knee and calf. So
yeah, and they've also And they also said now for church employees, like female ones, who have still been required to wear dresses and even stockings during the colder seasons.
As they should.
They finally changed it now, so I believe women will finally be allowed to start wearing pants.
Wearing halter
tops. Work for the church.
And
halter tops.
I hear the sister missionaries can wear more colorful shirts, too, and blouses or whatever.
I think that's been encouraged. Like, on my mission, they had a whole conference.
Is the church true anymore? I don't know.
It's really spinning out of control right now.
Sister missionaries are going to be allowed to wear facial hair next year.
Oh, thank heavens.
Well, I just wonder, like, where did this happen? Because on my mission, they encouraged the sisters to try, like, do themselves up more. Because where did this whole thing, you know, that sister missionary look that we're all used to? I mean, is it ever actually written anywhere that they have had to look that plain? Because I'd see some who actually tried to dress a little more either professionally or stylishly, and it was fine.
I think
I just don't understand where it started that way.
The opposite is true, I think. When I was in the MTC, there was a quote read, I can't remember if it was Brigham Young or President Kimball, that said, pretty much, women look better with makeup. So wear makeup.
Yeah, we don't want to see what you really look like.
Brigham Young said that. He's like, hey, dollface, why don't you fix that up?
He's like, cover that up, please.
But I think a lot of women equate wearing makeup with men, with like meeting men. So if they're not going to be meeting any men, then, you know, what does it matter what they look like? I think that's how some sisters would think.
Also, I could imagine you don't want to waste the time getting ready in the morning to do something.
Because,
you know, the elders, you know how it is. We're like in and out of the shower, shaved and everything in like a 10-minute spread.
The only time in my life I've ever combed my hair like in consecutive days was on the mission. I put more time and effort into my looks as a missionary than I ever have in my entire life since. I don't know why I'm not married. I can't figure it out.
Good job,
they're still making elders like part their hair.
I don't know. There's no official part thing. Cause you meet some missionaries who have some pretty, they just have it really, really short, so you can't even part it.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're going to see any faux hawks anytime soon. I don't think we're going to cross that line.
Oh my God. I think that's a fashion choice more than anything. I think faux hawk is on the downhill slide.
That's why the church people would probably, do. I mean, puka shells are finally seeing their way out of LDS culture. So.
Aloha.
Next up will be the faux hawk. Ed Hardy shirts will go mainstream within the church in a couple of years.
Nice.
Affliction. Bring the affliction.
And then the affliction shirts. And then finally the 80s retro thing that's going around will then hit, and by then it'll be about 2025. That'll be great.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I guess we're down to our mentions, aren't we, Noel?
It's true.
So sad. Let me see what we've got here. What can I get you here? Groundbreaking's been announced for the Payson, Utah Temple. I know many of you have been waiting with bated breath, wondering when South Utah County would have that temple go up.
You guys want to hear a Payson story? One time I won a best legs contest in Payson.
Oh.
No, my.
At the Scottish Festival there.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you in the caber toss and they said hold it right there?
No, it was a dance. I had to do a Scottish dance. I actually lost. It was first runner up, I think, is what I got. And I lost to a little kid who was like a Highland dance professional.
Little monster.
What a joke.
Corbin, but that's lovely. Corbin, we should throw a K-lead or something together. Mm-hmm. We could have a ball.
I didn't know the Payson was a hotbed for the Scottish
for Scottish activity. It is.
Wow.
It is.
There's a huge Scottish diaspora down there.
My gosh.
You can't plan for these things.
Consequent.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you work down there, Adam. You should really, get to know the local community.
I do. I need to invest in the local economy.
Next time you're in Spanish Fork, don't just stop at that Charles
Jr. Buy some haggis.
Jr.
Like haggis.
Haggis is never good.
All right, so some other stuff. Mountain Meadows.
Hold on, I was going to announce the date, the 8th of October.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Elder Oaks will be dedicating
it. I thought you were being facetious because nobody actually cares.
People care. We always do temple news on here. There you go.
Temples are great. They're great.
I'm sorry you don't like them, Al. I'll never do it again.
Jeff's a church man.
I am so righteous.
Go on, Jeff. When is it dedicated?
No, the ground will be broken on the 8th of October.
That's what I meant.
Broken.
Oh.
Okay, neat.
Right?
Good. So Mountain Meadows is a national landmark now. It's a fun fact for you. Also, the Book of Mormon musical is being turned into a movie officially.
Yes.
So don't expect that to go away anytime
soon. I'm not going to lie. Is it going to be weird for any of us to see a movie come out called The Book of Mormon that's inevitably going to be rated R? Just to see the sort of, the irony, perhaps? I mean, a lot of The Book of Mormon would be rated R if it were done straight from the text.
Do you remember when Passion of the Christ came out? Do you remember Passion of the Christ coming out and, I think I had a bishop that bore his testimony about it.
Oh, really?
No.
That was big drama. And then our stake president was like, don't go and see this.
I thought that movie, the problem with that movie, I mean, aside from the violence, was it dragged on longer than it needed to. I mean, literally, you sat there for 20 minutes while...
Wait, you got sick?
While Christ is flogged and beaten and stuff. Because I know Mel Gibson was trying to drive the point home about the pain and the suffering that Christ went through, and that's the idea of the passion in Catholic lore, but it just dragged on. Like, you can see that entire movie as the Lamb of God, the old R movie from the 90s. 20 minutes, you cover all the same bases, and it's far more uplifting.
That's quite true.
I recommend it.
We're an uplifting people.
Mm.
That's what Adam has to say.
It's hard to have a panel like this.
Oh, Adam, is the guy playing Jesus in the movies you're making the same one who's been playing that Danish guy who's been doing it for a while?
No, they went in a different direction. They let him go? They cut him loose, man.
I thought he was like the official now and forever Jesus that the church was going to be using.
No, they kind of, I think they're taking a new approach. They want to try to
make his hair and beard look real.
Yeah, their new motto is less Danish.
I heard that. Now I heard that guy had a serious accent, and they actually dubbed him. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, you know, they've always liked to do that. One actor do the appearance, and then somebody do the voice. And I think that was so that it could never be replicated somewhere else. So that guy couldn't go on and do some shady movies. And everybody's like, oh, that's Jesus.
Like that Legacy, which could be its own true Hollywood story.
Yeah.
Wait, really? What's the drama with
Legacy? Is like famous for all the shady stuff that went down with the cast after the movie, I believe.
There was people showing up drunk on set, wasn't there? Some stuff like that.
Yeah, I believe the guy who played Joseph Smith was allegedly like a chain smoker and he was drunk, and the chick who blesses the ox was in like some soft porn Cinemax movie.
Oh
man, fantastic. I wasn't actually on Cinemax.
What?
Matter of fact, in Thailand.
You've got the greatest resume.
My brother was in Thailand shooting a commercial for Zango, and they turned the TV on in Cinemax. There was a movie I did called Orcs in the Thai subtitles.
Orcs was playing in Thailand. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Do these orcs have a relationship to, like, Lord of the Rings? Or what are we...
It's the same kind of thing. In fact, the movie's called Orcs. I play a park ranger, modern day, that discovers there's orcs coming out of the mountain and slaughtering people in the national park.
It happens.
Yeah. Oh,
it happens, you know.
So it's like the movie Baptists at Our Barbecue, but
it's kind of a remake, really.
Okay.
It was a play on Charlie.
Yeah. It's a little tongue in cheek. We did some shout outs to Lord of the Rings. It's funny because you see some of the comments on IMDb, they're like, "What a ripoff. This is a Lord of the Rings ripoff. They ripped off some of the same dialogue."
It's a love letter. It's a love letter to Lord of the Rings.
It's a love. It's a beautiful film.
Well, it's understandable.
Film.
It's hard not to rip off Orlando Bloom staring pensively into the sunset saying poignant things. I mean, how can you not want to rip that off?
I'm ripping it off right now.
Oh.
Too bad there's no video. It's true.
Corbin's just having a ball over there.
I'm just sitting here by myself ripping off Lord of the Rings. Sweet. Pantsless, it's true.
So, hey, I've got one last little thing here. A new poll says that most are still unsure about Mormons, and guess what typical Mormon thing? Polygamy.
As my first grade teacher said, polygamy.
Yep. Polygamy. It said that only 14% of those surveyed know that the church abandoned polygamy more than 100 years ago. 14%. And the remaining 86% are either mistaken or uncertain about polygamy.
Bless their hearts.
Wow.
I don't know what we can do to try to get this point across at this stage in the game.
We are adamant about one man, one woman. I mean, how do people confuse this?
Do they just need to put out a very blatant press release that I don't know how to tackle this at this point, because I feel like we've done everything we can possibly do to illustrate that we do not practice it.
We could just take it up again.
Yeah, you can't beat them, join them, you know? Might as well.
Like, let's call that option C.
Let's call that option C. That'll be last ditch option. All right.
We've got A and B that we can try, and then if none of those work, we'll go to C.
And then if polygamy doesn't work, we'll do polyandry instead, which I think would be a lot more exciting for Melissa, probably.
Polyamorous relations.
Very true, Jeff. Very true.
I mean, look, there's four of us men right here, right now. Booyah.
Are we all single?
I hardly know what to do.
No.
Yeah.
Is anyone here married?
I'm single enough.
No.
Nobody's married. See?
No. Nope.
This is why there's so much confusion, because if we all got married, that would fix everything. See? It comes down to family.
It's true. We'd all be living in Eagle Mountain, living the dream.
Eagle Mountain, Daybreak.
It's so close, yeah, it's so far.
Daybreak, that's where the party was.
Nice.
Daybreak is a hot place. Anything built by Kennicott is okay with me.
Love them. Good times. Well,
I suppose we're on our way out now. It's about time to wrap it up, eh?
This has been great. Oh, real quick, do you guys have any of your personal sites you'd like to plug besides AdamJohnson.com? Where can people find you?
You can find me at SheldonRemains.com. That's SheldonRemains.com. Sheldon Remains is my my graduate thesis at USC's School of Cinema. It's a film we're planning to shoot this fall in the Northwest about a logger and his overbearing mother and the senior stance she makes him be her date to Willie's high on Valium.
Are there any works involved?
There are no works in it.
Dang it.
There should be.
I'll see what I can do.
That would be awesome.
I know a guy.
Yeah. And then you can look pensively to the mountains, and over the mountain will come Adam with his orcs. I love this. Mm-hmm. I love where it's going.
Yeah, there's not enough of that at all.
Melissa, do you have any pharmaceutical things to pitch to us?
You know, Jeff, I sell birth control, and hopefully that's all under control.
Okay, nice. But if any of you in our audience need some,
Melissa,
Melissa can cut you a break. What I'm saying.
And Melissa taught us the value of the chemicals at the cleaners.
Dry That's cleaners. Right. Don't go for the Blazers.
A wealth of chemicals.
Get the juice.
I do have my own separate website. It's Adam A. Johnson, my middle name. It starts with an A. Ugh.
Adam Johnson.
Yeah, it's double Adam.
Adama Johnson.
Do you want people following you on Twitter or fanning you on Facebook? What is your...
Yeah, let's see. Oh, man, I got to start a Facebook fan page. It's weird, like, I got to start, thinking about starting your own fan page. It seems like somebody else would do that.
No, it's fun to be self-promoting. Trust me.
We went through this with Jenna Kim Jones, who also struggled with the self-fanning.
Mm.
And now, look at her, 100 fans.
Whoa.
Nice.
Hundreds. And if and from this show alone, you could get five or six, maybe a dozen people.
Dozens.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I do have a Twitter. It's The Adam Johnson. The Adam Johnson. And I'll get a fan page going. I'm going to do that.
I've got a Twitter feed at Telunky Corbin.
What is...
All right, we'll put these links up on the side,
How does one spell Telunky Corbin?
Tell T-E-L-L, Unky, U-N-K-Y, Corbin, that's C-O-R-B-I-N.
Apparently, he subscribes to the Mary Poppins method of spelling. Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that. Oh, look at you. Corbin, you're part of the Beard Club. Good for
Unky,
you.
I really am.
We've got... Hey, this is like a bearded bonanza here tonight.
It's
hot in here.
Good times.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Al goes off and on with his beard. I don't know what he's sporting.
I'm back. I'm at a 2 weeks growth.
For the record, I have no beard.
I had a girl. I took a girl out. This is great. I took a girl out and she said, just so you know, I get a rash if I kiss a beard. And this was the first date. I was like, well, awesome. I'll shave it off. Like, what? How do you respond to that?
Hey, that's the right way. You know where you stand.
You're like, I'll let you know if you're in danger of getting a rash.
Exactly. So you'll know when I'm
ready. Like, you're okay for the moment. Give me time.
Oh boy.
We can watch a movie as friends. This is fun.
Well,
of course you can find us at twitter.com/therealtwim and facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. Or shoot us an email. We love them at contact@thisweekinmormons.com.
And, of course, go to thisweekinmormons.com where you can see old posts, stream the episode if you want, and subscribe to things, too, if you want.
Great comments this week. A lot of people left comments. That was very nice.
Also, don't forget about Sunday School Bonanza, our 10-minute podcast that gives an overview of the forthcoming gospel doctrine lesson because, let's face it, you're too lazy to actually read the student manual on your own. So,
and we've never actually been under 10 minutes.
No, I think the closest we've had was like 11 and a half. But anyways, so that's going to be that. We would like to thank, let's go in, Melissa Parker. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And Corbin Frost.
Thanks,
look
fellas.
Out for him. And Adam Johnson, look for him betraying Christ and doing other things at a theater near you.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
I'm serious. I really like the funny Mormon YouTube genre is ripe for the picking. Please keep doing them. We love them. You officially have the twin bump. We are enthusiastic about the most interesting Mormon in the world. Look forward to what you guys
I
keep
love
doing.
Excellent. So
thank
much.
You so much.
Well, yeah, that's great. Yeah, thanks for having us, man. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Well, this has been another episode of This Week in Mormons. We hope to hear from you soon and hope you have a great week. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.